Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? Praise God. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. The scripture keeps going over my mind. David said this, I thinketh myself happy. I've been so happy today, I'm just kind of bubbling over with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. We are going to have a little Bible study tonight. Hopefully some of you might glean some information here that may change your perspective. In the name of Jesus, that's what we're hoping for. The title of my message is this, Are You in Your Right Mind? There has been a lot of question over the years. People have asked me that. Or, you're not in your right mind. Or something to that effect. But spiritually speaking, the Bible tells us that it is possible to be in your right mind. And it's also possible not to be in the right spiritual mind. So we're going to talk about that. Today, every day, we wage war against our carnal nature. Point to yourself and say, I have a carnal nature. It has a mind of its own. It wants to do everything on its timetable, and it will hound you till the day that you die. Praise God. It will never get to the point where you can forget about it, that we are waging a war. So our job is to plant seeds on a daily basis to combat the very nature that we were born with. Born in sin, the Bible says, and shaped in iniquity. Praise God. Nobody had to teach us how to sin. It just came natural. Praise God. Because of that, a lot of people become deceived after they're born again because they have this idea that now that they are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, everything's going to be really good, and you'll never have to worry about old sin again. Anybody say, oh, yes, you do. Okay, let's turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. The Bible says this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because what? The carnal mind, the natural mind, is enmity against God. I mean, there's a war going on. It will never submit to God, and we need to understand that, for it is not subject to the law of God. Do you understand that everything on this planet is in subjection to God except one thing? The devil has no free reign. The only thing that is not in subjection to God is our carnal nature, our natural man. We have to force it to submit to the Spirit of God because the carnal mind is enmity. It's at war, not subject to the law, neither indeed can be. So every day, we're sowing to the human nature, or we're sowing to our spiritual mind. And we need to understand how detrimental it can be if you don't pray, if you don't seek God, if you don't put yourself and have an awareness of what's going on around you. The prince and power of the air is constantly pushing media at you, and you're listening to it and hearing it, even if it's in the background. I said, even if it's in the background, you go to your job site and there are people there that are saying and doing things that are constantly contradicting the Word of God. There's a lot of negativity going on in the world, and unless you are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with His Holy Spirit, you will be subjected to this forever. Praise God. We can overcome this, but we have to be aware of it. I've heard some people say that, well, you know, I'm neutral. My mind is neutral. That can't happen because your mind is always receiving something. The Bible tells us to put every thought in subjection. Now, the devil cannot read our mind, but he can read your lips. So we need to understand that when we give him enough information, then he starts putting thoughts into your mind. Everybody said amen. So if you're not aware that we are constantly sowing something into our mind, you will undoubtedly have a problem in your life. You will have exposed your mind to too many things, too many circumstances, and then your carnal nature then begins to take over. Think about addictions, for example. You expose your carnal nature to substances that will eventually or could eventually destroy you. I've been out at UW Hospital watching people push their little walker thing out there and wondering, what are they doing out there? And they light a cigarette and they put it in their breathing tube. I'm thinking, no, I can't fathom that. I mean, it kind of goes off the range, but it happens. Why does the alcoholic continue to drink when he knows that it's killing him? I had a man working for me one time that came, and he was like 33 years old, and his brother, twin brother actually, asked me if I'd give him a job, and I did. And when I looked at him, I looked at his eyes, and I knew he was a dead man. He had the yellow jaundice look in his eyes, and you knew that he was not going to make it. And talked to him about the Lord, trying to get to him, to get into his right mind. You know, that's what we really try to do. People are out there in their wrong mind. They're thinking wrong. They're processing information wrong. So our job as soul winners is to give them enough information to make the right decision. Amen? Everybody smile. Turn to your neighbor and say, boy, he's long-winded. No, I'm... Oh, hallelujah. But we are fighting against the sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All these things, love not the world nor the things of the world. So we have to be aware of this. Once you're aware of it, it's much easier to fight the battle. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, if you have your Bibles, please turn to that. This is another scripture that backs up what we're talking about here. The Bible says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You ever talk to somebody that said, I don't believe that. That doesn't, you mean you believe that Noah's Ark thing? Or you think that there was actually a guy that went into a lion's den? You ever had people talk to you like that? Or that God couldn't possibly send me to hell because I'm a good person? Or all these things that they cannot receive what we have because it's foolishness to them. They will not submit themselves. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Good question. That he may instruct him. But this is the part that really, really intrigues me. But we have the mind of Christ. When you are baptized into Jesus' name and filled with his Spirit, you have access to the mind of Christ. And it kind of, I have a hard time wrapping my faith around that statement. I mean, is it really possible that we can have the actual mind of Christ, that we can actually receive information from him? And think about this, that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, and you are the body. You are his hands, his feet, his eyes, his nose. If God's going to do anything on this planet, it's going to be through John Gmeinder or Rich Thomas or whoever's sitting here that has the Spirit of God. If you're waiting for God to move, you need to understand God cannot move unless you move. God cannot speak unless you speak. Praise God. We have the mind of Christ. Let's turn to Philippians, the second chapter in the fifth verse. And here it is again. Paul's writing right now. He has his right mind. He didn't have his right mind until he was converted, until he was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul was not dealing with his right mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you that also was in Christ Jesus. Do you understand the magnificence of this scripture? Do you understand the power? We've been invited by God to have the mind that was in Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Does anybody understand that scripture? Anybody practicing it? Do you know there's a place in God that we can get the mind of Christ, then we will not feel intimidated to lay hands on the sick and be very, very amazed if they didn't recover. If we have the mind of Christ, we have the authority and the power to do the things that God said we could do. He's given us that power. He's given us that authority. But we have to start someplace. We have to change our mind. We have to change. There has to be a paradigm shift here. If you're happy with the mind that you have, which is half spiritual and half carnal, then you are not listening to what I'm telling you, because I'm hungry inside. I'm 70, and I'm thinking, I have no idea how much longer I have, but I'm not going to be satisfied with whatever has happened in my life spiritually up to this point. I want to run this race all the way to the end. I want to be able to look back and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want to hear that with my own ears. And the only way that can happen is if you're growing. If you're growing, if you continue to change your mind, continue to feed yourself. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Malachi said, will a man rob God? Paul said, tells the church, it's not robbery to have the same mind of Jesus Christ. Oh my, what an opportunity. I don't think I'm connecting here. Maybe I'm the only one that's thinking myself happy, but this opens up a door of opportunity for anybody that's willing to go for it. Anybody that's willing to say, you know what? If Paul can do it, I can do it. If Daniel can do it, I can do it. If Moses can do it, I can do it. I'm a man, they were a man, but I have been given. They did not have access to the mind of Jesus Christ. They did not have the tools that we have. All they had was a one-on-one relationship with God and man. But we have, universally, all over the planet, have been given the power to become the sons of God. He was the firstborn among many brethren, but now we have been adopted into his holy family. We are called holy priests, a peculiar nation. Praise God. I'm thinking myself happy again. Praise God. If all things are possible to those who believe. We believe that God can do anything, but when he turned the tables on us, he said, oh, by the way, all things are possible to those who believe. That puts us right in the same. That puts us with God-like powers available if our heart's right, our attitude's right, and we're thinking right. If we are in your right mind, you will be able to get in tune with God like you never have before. Everybody said amen. Brother Thomas is in his right mind. Nobody said amen. Nobody said amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, to be used of God, I think there's one thing that we need to understand, and that is that there has to be an attitude of the heart as a servant. You have to have a servant's heart to be used of God. I don't know anybody that's ever been used of God that at one point in their life they were a humble servant. They're willing to do what must be done in the kingdom of God, and they weren't looking for accolades. They weren't looking for titles. They just felt so good about the fact that once they were blind and now they see. They are singing Amazing Grace because they understand who they were and where they were headed and why they were headed that way. If you don't have that revelation, get back into the book. Find out. Get in your right mind, because if this gospel has gotten old to you, or if you're not feeling excited about living for God, you need to refocus. You need to charge your batteries up. You need to understand that you're not in your right mind. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it. Philippians 2:8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. Here's something that we're really bad at, and that's humbling ourselves through fasting. Fasting, that word. That fasting word, the one that everybody anticipates. Oh, boy, we get to fast today. If we understood that it's part of the process, if we would eagerly anticipate, fasting doesn't move God, it moves unbelief out of you. It takes you to a point where you can believe God for the very things that you need. But we are in most cases, you know, I'm down to 5 meals a day. I'm not talking about I'm fasting a lot, but I know there is a gate there that if I want to excel in a spiritual dimension, I'm going to have to learn how to fast. I'm going to have to learn how to pray better than I ever have in my entire life. If I want to be in my right mind, if I want to receive the mind of Christ, the mind of Jesus Christ, he was a humble servant. He was willing to suffer and die. Praise God. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, praise God, and pray and turn from their wicked ways, we sometimes look at the world and say, boy, I wish this world would turn from their wicked ways. But really, it's wicked for us because we have all the ammunition, we have all the firepower we need, and yet we're not seeking God. We're not in our right mind because we're not seeing the things that we know we should be seeing in our life. I don't know about you, but I want to be totally honest with myself. Praise God. Let a man examine himself. Look at yourself. Okay, ask yourself this. God asked me this question many times. If everybody's evangelistic effort was the same as yours, how big would the church be? If everybody taught Bible studies like you teach, how many Bible studies would have been taught last year? If everybody invited as many visitors as you have, how many visitors would be in the house of God? Those are tough questions. Have you been on a long fast? Has God led you on a long fast to drive the unbelief? You know, if you're going to want to be spiritual, you're going to have to put something in the pot. You're going to have to stir the pot up. And then you're going to have to say, if I really want to be what I claim I want to be, then I know the way to get there is by prayer and fasting and reading the Bible and hiding the Word of God in my heart. If I just want to be an average Christian, if I just want to come here, you know, it's possible to come here day after day, week after week, month after month, pay our tithes, sing. Like, we had a worship service Sunday night that was heavenly. It was heavenly. But do you think everybody that left this building on Sunday night, Monday morning, was charged up as they were when they were singing the praises of Zion and running around this building and everybody's exuberant and shouting and laughing and having this great time in the Lord? Listen, that's where we have to change our mind. This is where we plug in our electric car and get charged up. The world is not here. We want the world to come here, but we need to go out into the world with our batteries charged, with the attitude of who we are in Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God, praise God. All things are possible to those who believe. We can do anything according to the power that works within us. What's in us that we can have this power? The Holy Ghost. But if we're not aware of it, if we're not seeking God on a continual basis, how are we expecting to see a 20,000 soul revival? You think it's going to happen because we're praying for a 20,000 soul revival? I'll tell you when it's going to happen. When everybody understands that they are called not to be soul winners, but to be witnesses. The Bible says that we should be witnesses unto him, unto who? Unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Every place we go, we should be asking God for an opportunity to share this in some way, shape, or manner. It could be just a smile. It could be picking up someone's shopping cart. It could be changing a flat tire. If we are constantly looking for opportunities to break the ice, so to speak, looking for ways to help people, looking for ways to help our neighbors or those around us, you think it'll be long before we get into the lifestyle evangelism? Because if you're praying and fasting, then you're out there looking for ways to supplement what you know has to happen. Praise God. If we don't do this, then we come into a dimension that we don't want to get into. If we're not sowing anything to the Spirit, and if we're sowing to our flesh instead of our spiritual mind, guess what happens? Then we become double-minded. Double-minded. James 1 and 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you mix doubt with faith, you come up with unbelief every single time. And that's what unbelief is. And the sad part of all that is, unless we change our mind, that's one of the sins that you see in the book of Revelation. Unbelief is thrown into the lake of fire. It's a direct assault and affront to God to have all this power and all this authority and everything he's given us to do the things that he's called us to do and not do it. Because we wouldn't change our mind. Let this mind be in you. If we have the mind of Christ, our heart will be filled with the fear of the Lord, a positive fear of the Lord. It's like a relationship between a man and a woman in marriage. You wouldn't want to purposely do anything to have that relationship turned over or dissolved, would you? If you really loved your wife, you'd want to do things that would make her happy. Where's my wife? Tell her. Personally, what I do, I try to do things that will help her. I try to do things that show her that I love her. You know, you can tell Jesus you love him, and Jesus said this. He said, "You worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." Why is that? Because you're not in the right mind. You can't separate obedience with loving God. You have to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we can, you know, I'm wondering sometimes, maybe I'm wrong, maybe Brother Manley can set me straight on this one, but I sometimes wonder if we are lying when we lift up our hands, begin singing these songs, and we don't really believe it. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. I give it all to you, Lord. Maybe we should sing, "God, help me to give it all to you. God, help me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Teach me to love you like I need to love you. Don't allow me to think that I'm saved and not be saved. Don't let me stand in front of you and hear, I didn't know you. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." You say, "Oh, come on, Brother Tom." Well, look through the parable. Look through the Bible. Five foolish virgins, five wise virgins. There's the parable of the talent. There's all kinds of scripture that point to spiritual activity. Productivity is going to get us into the kingdom of heaven. Not initially. By faith we are saved through grace, baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit. I understand that. But we can't just sit here after this happens. We have to actively pursue the Almighty God in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm getting wound up again. You know, with his right mind, Paul said this in Philippians. Well, wait, let's back up. Romans. That sounded pretty distinguished. Just thought I'd use my British voice. All right. Paul, the Apostle Paul, recorded in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans a dissertation that sounds something like my life, and I'm not going to read the scripture, but he basically said, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things I do want to do, I find myself not doing. Excuse me. And he sums it up in Romans 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Here's the difference. We have the mind of Christ if we're constantly pursuing it. The flesh never gets any better. You give it a week. Give it 2 weeks, and it'll be right back where you found it. It'll gravitate right back into the very things that God delivered you from. Philippians 2 and 9, Paul wrote this when he was in his right mind. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and given a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every on things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. We have been given his name. We have been given the authority to wear his name, to use his name when we come upon situations. We don't lay hands on people in the name of Larry Conley, thank God. We lay hands on people in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. It's like we have to understand the authority that we've been given has been transferred to us, this power to and the authority to use his name. One man said it's like having a social security or a security box at the bank. You have one key and the bank has one key. Everything you need's in there. You just have to stick your key in. God's already put his key in there. That's a promise of God. What do you need? What do you need from God? What's the promise that you're looking for? Does he promise to give you health? Yes, he does. Does he promise to heal you? Yes, he does. Does he promise to give you, meet all your need according to his riches and glory? Yes, he does. So what's the problem? We won't put our key in there. We don't think he's going to do it for us. We know it's in the Bible. We can recite all the stories, but it's we need to get out of the dimension of just reading and reciting and get into the, let's get into the battle. Let's get into the real deal. If this church is going to go into 20,000 people, grow into 20,000 people, it will be because we changed our minds. We have a different mindset. It's starting to happen right now. There are people in our church. It started with one person. Now it's 30 or whatever. But we've got 30 people now that are feeling the fire. And I'm not saying that every other minister is not feeling it. These people are feeling a special touch. I have never in my life felt the presence of God like we did at that outreach meeting 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was supernatural, better than anything I'd ever felt in 30 years. And I'm not living on feelings, but I will say this. There was something going on in the spirit world. God was putting his stamp on this. I think when we get ready to leave this building and understand that we are going out to the highways and to the byways, our job is to compel them to come in. Our job is to let our light so shine that all the people in our lives will know who we are, who we represent, and by the love that we show for one another. All these things have to be done on a daily basis. We have to nurture these things. We need to stir up the pot. Praise God. I'm so excited about what's going on. We've got people on Craigslist asking for Bible studies. We got kids going on the Metro bus and taking surveys. We have people that are knocking on doors. And that's not the ultimate. I'm just saying that's in addition to witnessing on their jobs. We can all be witnesses. We're not all called to knock on doors. Some of us are too old. Some of us are too cranky. Brother Rossing, for example. Rooster Rossing, Rooster Cogburn. He is, I'll say this about Brother Rossing. He is a soul winner. He is a soul winner. He's won a lot of souls at Calvary Gospel Church. That doesn't make him not cranky. He's still cranky, but I'm not even going to respond to that. I still have the microphone, so you probably should be careful. I don't know if you've ever read our purpose statement here at Calvary Gospel Church. We need to understand, I think, if the 20,000 soul vision that Pastor Grant has proclaimed to us, for that to become a reality, then we need to understand what our part in it is. And we are the 3 points in this purpose statement. I want to just take a look at these for a moment. The first one is we are to reach up to God in personal worship and devotion. Everybody buy into that? Okay. But here's where we sometimes forget. It's not just in these power-packed services that we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to, our prayer life has got to become alive with intercession. Our heart needs to be broken to the point where you go into a crowd of people and you begin to tear up because you understand that these people are lost and they are undone and they have no hope. If we're not interested in their eternal destiny, they do not have any hope at all. You might say, this is too overwhelming. This is just way too much. But until we reach up to the point where we have a passion for the lost, not just I really love to worship the Lord, but I mean a passion where you get woke up at night and you begin to intercede for your unsaved relatives or your unsaved coworkers, your unsaved neighbors. Praise God. All right. It becomes a holy fire shut up in your bones. But it happens because you purposely, you on purpose understand where you're at and where you have to go. If you're not feeling it, that's okay. But you can't stay in that dimension. You can't stay where you are at, because things will not change 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and then Jesus comes back or whenever. You have got to come to the revelation that you have to change your mind. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Praise God. How do you know if you're in your right mind? How do you know if you're in your right spiritual mind? Peter Sandin, I need your help. Peter is an engineer by profession. If you'd come up here. Peter, I highly esteem this young man. I'm going to ask him some questions, and maybe he can answer. I believe that we can mathematically figure out this formula. Peter?
Okay. Yes.
Could you tell me? You tell me. 1 + 2 = 3. Pray. Let's hear it for Brother Sandin. So here's the deal, Peter. We have to reach up to God, and then we have to add number 2 to that equation. We reach in by discipleship and personal growth, and then we come to the reaching out, because if we're reaching up and we're reaching in discipleship and personal devotion, we cannot help but to reach out. We could not contain it. Thank you for your math. This guy is amazing. Thank you, Peter Sandin. Love this guy. All right, so we know that 1 + 2 = 3. If we continue to reach up, we continue to grow spiritually, we continue to reach up to God, does it get any better than you have it today? Yes, it does. You're just scratching the surface. We're just scratching the surface here. We're looking for 20,000 souls, so we're reaching up. How long do you reach up until there's a passion in you? The fire can't be put out. The fire is shut up in your bones, and you leave this service, and you're fired up, but you need to get out into the world. You need to go to your neighbor. You need to look for opportunities every day. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know many, if not all of you, are doing this, but I'm trying to stir you up to another dimension. If it becomes a lifestyle, if it becomes something you can't control, that you're looking for people all the time, praise God. My hero in this church is Brother Perry Hicks, and I'm going to tell you the reason why. Perry Hicks is in a wheelchair, and yet he witnessed to Mike Bloom. Stand up, Mike. I didn't witness to him. Perry Hicks did. Perry can't hardly lift his hand, but he felt something on Mike on the, what was it, our family fun day out on the outside. Mike just happened by, and Perry just happened to be there. And Perry asked him, he said, would you like a Bible study? He said, yeah. Why did he say yes? Because he's hungry. The fields are white, and they're ready for harvest. There are people all around you every single day. Noah brings a man from his workplace. He witnessed to him and witnessed to him. Not this drag it out, you know, all the Bible verses, just positive spiritual attitude, smiling. Nothing gets to him. He just continues to live the life in front of him, lifestyle evangelism. Finally, the guy wants to come to see what's going on. He said, how in the world could anybody be this happy? You're not on drugs. Listen, our light that's coming out of, what did he say? This Jesus method that Pastor Grant put together is, this will put you in season all the time. In season, you won't be out of season, because you get the idea that the church is not a building. The church is you. Every time you leave this building, you are the church. You are the chosen. You're called out to be an evangelist to wherever you're at. I think we've kind of turned this evangelism thing, this evangelist ministry around, because it's really every place we go, we should be looking for an opportunity to evangelize somebody, to plant a seed, or let our light so shine that people would know. Praise God. Paul said this to the Jews. He became a Jew. To the Romans, he became a Roman. He became all things to all men, that he could win some of them. If you continue to sow seed, you're going to win people to the Lord. It won't be, you're not going to be groves of people, but if you don't, if you're not sowing, you're not going to reap anything. You have to continue to sow. Continue to sow. As a man sows, so shall he reap. Cast your bread upon the water. It'll come back to you. God will confirm his word with signs and wonders if we're sowing. What an opportunity it is. I would imagine if we could get enough people doing this, we'd fill this building up so quickly. I mean, so quickly. If we wait for organized outreach, if we're looking for, the next big event, let's do a park event, or let's do this, or let's do that. Okay, we get another group of people around, and we don't have anything really at risk here, because it's just not you and the person that who needs it. We got 50 people, we're going out to the park. This is good. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. What I'm saying is that what would happen if, when you left your door on Monday morning after a dynamic service, that God would say, oh, there goes my son, there goes my daughter. I'm going to use them today, because their antennas are up. They're looking for a way to spread this thing. They're looking for a way to be positive in my kingdom. So you think God's going to send people your way? You're on your hands and knees, and you're praying, and you're weeping, and you're crying over all the lost people at your job. All your neighbors, all those people that live within a stone's throw of you and don't even know that you're a Christian. How about those friends that you've had for years, and they know there's something different about you, but they're not sure what it is, and you've never told them? Praise God. I don't know about you, but I've been there. I want to get back in my right mind, and I want to stay there in my right mind. Sister Millen, I don't know if she's still in here, but she started a Bible study in her neighborhood with the ladies that she knew and had coffee with. She said, any of you girls interested in coming over and just kind of study the Bible a little bit? You know, oh, yeah, everybody, oh, that would be really cool, because her light had already been shining. I mean, they liked what they felt. People that are hungry for God will like being around you, because you are radiating the Holy Ghost. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. You have the mind of Christ inside of you. You're going to stir up some devils, but you're also going to stir up people that are hungry. If this harvest field is white and ready for harvest, how in the world could we possibly know who's ready for harvest unless we were ready to go out into the harvest field? Think about it. You know, we know they're out there because God said that. We know there's hungry people everywhere. We try to determine in our head, well, that Carrie Millen, I don't know. I don't think he'd like this. I don't think he'd be a good candidate. Now, Jim Rivets, on the other hand, he has a spiritual wife, but he fishes way too much. Maybe we could teach him to be fishers of men. Sister Millen has started a Bible study at her own home. I think that's really cool, because this is where your harvest field is. It's not in Bolivia. We've got men that are called to Bolivia. We've got men that are called to countries all over the world. But he called you to your neighborhood. He called you to your job. He called you to the area that you're laboring in your workplace. Your mother, your father, your sisters, your brother, all these people in your life that are not saved, you are the only link between them and an eternal damnation. It's only you. If it's going to be, it's up to you. It's just that simple. You have been called to do this. If you have the right mindset and you understand that you have been given the power and the authority, praise God. If God be for us, who can be against us? If we are entering into God's harvest field and we're doing something he's commanded us to do, we should have a lot of Bible studies going. We should be talking to everybody we can. And it's not always about God. It's about being nice to people. Praise God. Hallelujah. I had a call one time from Sister Juanita Hittesdorf. This is several years ago. She asked me if I teach a Bible study to her neighbor. And I said, yeah, I'd love to. So His name was Tom, I think. It's been a few, more than a few years, but he was a chef. He had some drinking problems, which I had a couple myself. And we got in the study, and the first study, I always like to try to find out where they're coming from and how what level of spirituality they are. And I said, "Hey, Tom," I said, "how did you happen to agree to take this Bible study?" And he just teared up, and he said, "You know, there's something about Juanita Hittestorf." He said that it just, I don't know what it is, but she has something that I want. She has something that I want. That's the type of Jesus we serve. She never said a word to him about doctrine. What she did was be a good neighbor. She took care of their children. She reached out to them, baked stuff for them. I mean, became a good neighbor. And then he had an opportunity to receive what God had for him. Praise God. Everybody said, "Amen, I can do this." Brother Hicks, my hero, has done Bible studies. The sicker that he gets, it seems like the more aggressive he gets with his Bible studies. And he's had his personal attendant and witness to her, taught her a Bible study, and if I believe she was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And many others in his family have come to the Lord because of Brother Hicks. And he can't walk. He can barely lift his arms, but he has a hunger to seek and save that which is lost. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. In Purpose Institute, I've been asked to teach a class called The Dynamics of Soul Winning. And recently, I challenged the students with this simple assignment. And if you're here tonight and you're struggling and you can't seem to keep in your right mind, I don't know if you've ever had that problem like I have, but if you seem like you're in your right mind and then the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches or things come in and suddenly you're blown off course. And so you got to, you know, you always have to get back up and you always have to regroup. But this assignment that I've given these young people for the most part, it's a very simple assignment, but I believe that it's going to change some people's lives. What I did is I asked them to make up three lists of people. I asked them to make up a list of all their neighbors that they knew, okay, and their name and address and how to get a hold of them. And then I asked them to make up a list of all the friends that they could think of. And so they started doing that. See, when you start doing that, you start remembering people. It'll take you a couple weeks just to get the list together. Most people come up with 200 to 300 names. And then all the coworkers, past and present, what we're doing is we're developing a prospect list. And this list, no doubt, is filled with people who are ready, white for harvest, right? Amen? You think if you get your 200 list, if you got 10% of them, that'd be 20 people. That's not a bad harvest for a little bit of effort on your part. So you get your list together. And then you begin to pray for these people. You begin to intercede for these people. You start calling out their name. You know, it's one. What can happen, and I know this happens to just about everybody, you forget to pray for people that you know are going to go to hell. You understand that they are, but you've got all these things going on. So if you took this list and these three lists and you read over those lists, you begin praying, intercede for them, then you ask God, say, "No, God, there's some people in here that are ready for harvest. I don't know who they are, and only you know that. God, would you reveal to me the top five in each list? Would you do that for me, Lord, so I could honor your word?" Okay. So then it gets a little more exciting. Then you begin, instead of shooting with a shotgun, you're shooting with a high-powered scope rifle, and you begin to target at five people in each group. And you may have to add some fasting to this. I mean, would you be willing to fast for your uncle or your aunt? Or would you be willing to give up a meal or two for someone that you truly love? These people cannot be saved unless we have a burden for their souls. They cannot be saved because we are the ones that God has put us in their path. If we're not shining, if we're not concerned enough to pray and fast for their souls, who's going to do it? You think somehow they're just going to walk into church someday because you've been praying? Absolutely not. 9 out of 10 people don't come in that way. And then the third thing I asked them to do was to read some scriptures regarding the eternal destiny of these precious souls. It's easy to forget where they're headed. It's easy to forget that there is eternity looming for every single person that was born into this world. Everybody's going to spend someplace in eternity. Everybody. So here are the scriptures that I gave them. Mark 9:43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off, for it's better for thee to enter in, halt into life and having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it's better for thee to be enter into the kingdom of God with one eye having than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Luke 16:23, the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, this is a real picture of eternal damnation. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Please, God. Just a drop of water. Please. Oh, hallelujah. And cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I'm sorry that this moves me. This touches me. This motivates me to stop thinking the way I'm thinking and get into the reality of what's happening around us. Revelations 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How do you get written into the book of life? Repentance, water, baptism, and infilling of God's Holy Spirit, leading a separate and holy life. Till death do you reunite with your God. Friend, you've got to see your own relatives in there. You've got to see your neighbor in there. You've got to have the heart for this. It's got to break up the fallow ground. It's got to churn around until you become consumed with the fact that these people have an eternal destiny. And the last thing I asked them to do for 28 days is to watch a video. And the video is called The Reality of Hell. Before you show it, I want all the lights off, if you would. And I want you to turn the sound up. God sent this to me, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. It lasts 1 minute and 24 seconds. And I'm endeavoring to watch this every day. I'm endeavoring to read my list every day of my friends and family and relatives. I'm endeavoring to read these scriptures so I will not forget. And then I'm going to watch this 1 minute and 24 second video. Would you show it now, please?
Thank you. Every time I watch that, it stirs me again. You see, I've got loved ones that are not saved. I've got people that I used to work with and work for me, and they're not saved. So am I trying to stir you up? You better believe I am. Am I trying to get you excited? I want you to change your mind. Think about those things. Don't just let them come into your mind every 3 months or 4 months. Get a pattern going today. Get your list together today. Read your scriptures every day. Watch this 1 minute and 24 second video every day until you become consumed with the souls that God's put in your harvest field. Would you stand with me? I know this is not the typical service here at Calvary Gospel Church, but I'm just feeling that we are ending an age and an era. I believe that the dispensation of grace and life as we know it on this planet is about to change. And it's going to change very quickly. And if we're just playing church, if we haven't really given ourselves to this, those people that you love so dearly, those people that you could knock on their door, they'd let you in. They wouldn't think twice about letting you in. I'm not saying that everybody you knock on their door, they're going to be responding to you. I'm just saying, but what if they would? What if this is their time? What if tomorrow they're going to die of a heart attack? Or what if you got your list, you prayed, you've got 5 in each list. That's 15 people to work with. You pray until you become consumed with intercessory prayer, consumed with the fact that you're the only link between them and hell. This altar is open.